Welcome to Gita Study. This is a lesson in the third chapter of the Gita, the chapter on Karma Yoga, the Yoga of Action, as offered by Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien in 2023. Last session, we concluded with chapter 3, verse 7, exploring what it means to control the senses by the mind and engage in action without attachment. What does that mean and how do we do it? How is that possible? Today we continue that exploration by asking how we find freedom in action. We begin with verse 8 of chapter 3. This translation is by Winthrop Sargent. You should perform your duty, for action is superior to non-action. Even the maintenance of the body would not be possible through inaction. When we study yoga philosophy and Vedanta, we learn that thoughts, speech, and actions create samskaras, mental impressions that bind us to future action, cloud our discernment, and impede our progress on the path of soul liberation. Seeing this, we may ask, can I avoid action? Can I withdraw from the Dharma? Can I withdraw from the drama of life? But of course, we cannot. Just being embodied is to act. The body is always engaged in action, even in simple maintenance. From this verse, we can reflect on three teachings. One, action is unavoidable. Even choosing not to act is still action. Two, skillful action is a path of liberation. Three, action is how we participate in life's reciprocal nature. If action is unavoidable and also has the potential to bind us, how do we act skillfully? How do we avoid becoming ensnared by karma? Last session, we explored verse 7 of chapter 3. But the one who controls the senses with the mind, O Arjuna, and engages the organs of action in karma yoga without attachment, excels. With that discernment as a foundation, Krishna now offers Arjuna guidance about acting in ways that lead not to sorrow, but toward liberation. There's a saying, it's easy to be a saint on a mountaintop. You know, many of us have had the fantasy that if we could just get away from people, responsibilities, or the chaos of life, we would be calm, serene, perfect yogis. But here's the truth. Just because we remove ourselves from external triggers doesn't mean our inner buttons are gone. The samskaras remain. And being in relationships, engaging with others, is valuable because it reveals them to us. Our spiritual work becomes effective when we see life's circumstances as opportunities for sadhana, for spiritual practice. If we have the right perspective and tools, even challenges become catalysts for growth. Family life or workplace duties can feel like impediments, but they're often our most fruitful intensives. When we engage with others, aiming to remain even-minded and in harmony with the yamas and niyamas, reactive patterns surface. perhaps patterns that we thought we had resolved. On the mountaintop, we might avoid discomfort, but we wouldn't grow. So we might say our family and work lives are our 24/7 yoga intensives. Every day, we are supported, sometimes uncomfortably, to see where we can grow. That said, our gurus have taught us to take retreats, to withdraw temporarily, to restore clarity and perspective. But the purpose of the mountaintop is to return. The purpose of the mountaintop is to return, to re-enter our life with insight and renewed joy. Ultimately, our relationships can become sanctuaries of joy, not just fields of growth. That's the goal, not simply to endure, but to delight in life as a divine offering. Let's return to verse 8. You should perform your duty, for action is superior to non-action. Even the maintenance of the body would not be possible through inaction. Baba Hari Das translated it as, perform your obligatory duty. Perform your obligatory duty. And Swami Rama translated it as, perform the assigned action. These variations give us insight into Dharma, our assigned role, our contribution. We're each born with an assignment, a part in the divine play. The goal of Karma Yoga is not to escape action, but to engage skillfully, rooted in purpose and liberated from attachment. Karmic bondage arises from the ego, from selfish action. Liberation arises from the soul acting in harmony with the whole. If we ask, what is my Dharma? A good starting point is, what have I been given? Your gifts, your circumstances, your responsibilities, they all hold clues. Give back from what you have received. Nothing belongs to us, even the body. The yama of aparigraha, non-hoarding, reminds us not to cling. We may say, I earned this. But at the highest level, everything is a gift of life. Even the opportunity to work is grace. Verse 9 of chapter 3 reads, this world is bound by action, except when action is performed as sacrifice. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, perform action free from attachment for the sake of sacrifice. Sacrifice, yajna, here means offering, not just in ritual, but in how we live. Actions rooted in self-interest are binding. Actions offered as sacred participation without attachment to results lead to freedom. Every morning in our sadhana, we offer light, flowers, fruit. We say, Om Swaha, Om Swaha, meaning it is offered. And that daily reminder helps us to live in offering. A simple prayer might be, may my thoughts and my speech and my actions be constructive. Let our lives contribute to the upliftment of all. Sacrifice, rightly understood, sweetens our self-discipline. It reconnects us to life's sacred flow. We sacrifice the lower for the higher. Reactive tendencies for conscious response. That's real austerity. We sacrifice the lower for the higher. We sacrifice reactive tendencies for conscious response. That's real austerity. And here's the spiritual mantra. Give up. Let go. Turn over. Sacrifice. Surrender. Why? Freedom. Living in freedom now, not later. Living in joy now, not later. Joy and peace arise when we surrender. I was recently reading the autobiography of Baba Hari Das. He spent years building temples and ashrams in India. And when his guru arrived, he said, "You have built this and you will need to let it go." Imagine years of work and then release. What if we began with that perspective? As Paramahansa Yogananda quotes Lahiri Mahasaya, "Always remember that you belong to no one and no one belongs to you. Reflect that someday you will suddenly have to leave everything in this world. Make the acquaintance of God now." We live in a world of reciprocity, of giving and receiving. And that's the teaching of verses 10 through 12 of chapter 3. Verse 10 says, "In the beginning, having created mankind together with sacrifice, the Lord of beings said, 'By this shall you propagate. Let this be your cow of plenty, granting all desires.'" Verse 11 says, "With this, nourish the shining ones, and may those shining ones nourish you. Thus, nourishing one another, you shall attain the highest good." And verse 12, "The one who enjoys their gifts without giving to them in return is a thief, O Arjuna." Yajna is the key to harmonious living. Yajna is the key to a harmonious life. In simple acts, feeding a pet, preparing a meal, helping a neighbor, we are part of this sacred reciprocity. Yogananda listed many types of yajna: offering to ancestors, serving elders, supporting community, feeding animals, controlling the senses. All are offerings. All are ways to say thank you to life. As we contemplate these verses, consider this poem by Pat Schneider called Instructions for the Journey. "The self you leave behind is only a skin you have outgrown. Don't grieve for it. Look to the wet, raw, unfinished self, the one you are becoming. The world, too, sheds its skin. Politicians, cataclysms, ordinary days. It's easy to lose this tenderly unfolding moment. Look for it as if it were the first green blade after a long winter. Listen for it as if it were the first clear tone in a place where dawn is heralded by bells. And if all that fails, wash your own dishes, rinse them, stand in your kitchen at your sink, let cold water run between your fingers. Feel it. Be present. Keep letting go. Live in wonder and awe, and participate in life with joy and with freedom. I want to close with a reading from Paramahansa Yogananda's commentary on these verses in the Gita. He writes, "Work actuated by selfish desires militates against the divine plan. The worldly person is inclined to perform wrong actions in obedience to the entangling, short-sighted ego. To fulfill one's self-created, ever-increasing desires, the worldly person has to reincarnate again and again until they are free. But the yogi who works to please God alone is already free. But the yogi who works to please God alone is already free. May we live this day with the awareness that we are already free, joyously engaged in giving and receiving, giving and receiving, letting go, letting go, letting go. Om."